Legends 92.9 now brings you Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware.
The program's Lyrics and Legends, and we are exploring another great Texas music legend. Debbie, we got a good one coming up.
Oh, today. We do. We are going to talk today to Ray Wiley Hubbard, who is known all over the world, but Texas icon.
Yeah, we claim him because we're from Texas.
I double claim him because he started in Oklahoma, and, you know, I'm from Oklahoma, so we're double connected. We are.
Ray, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking time to visit with us on Legends.
Well, you bet. You bet. I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Like, Debbie is an Oklahoma import. We got her over here to Texas, but
yeah, what is it? I got here just as quick as I could.
Whereabouts in Oklahoma?
I'm from Western Oklahoma, right across the line in Eric, Oklahoma, on
I-40. Okay, that's kind of near. Up near Woodward, somewhere around up in that
area. It's on I-40 between.
Okay, you know, I know where you're talking about.
Oh, it's like Weatherford, Clinton, yeah. Elk City, Sayre, Eric. We're the last town in Oklahoma, and it says we were looking through your stuff, and it says that you're from Soper, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I was born in Hugo, Oklahoma. All my family was up there around Parrish, Texas, and Roxham, Texas, and Hugo and Soper. Yeah. And I was born in Hugo, Oklahoma, and then I guess we moved to Oak Cliff, Texas, when I was about 8 years old. But I have, like I say, relatives on both sides of the river.
Right, because you're in that part of Oklahoma. You're right on the Texas line, aren't you?
Yep, right there. Hugo, Oklahoma used to be known as Circus Town, USA, where a lot of circuses would make their winter homes.
Wow.
So my grandfather had a farm out there, so during the winter, the circus my grandfather would lease his land to the circus, so I grew up, I'd look out the window, and there'd be, you know, camels walking by.
Wow, that's crazy.
It was a pretty wacky childhood up there.
Okay, so that brings us up to, let's talk a little bit about some of your music, and thinking about the circus and the snake farm song that you have, that intrigues me.
Well, there's an old snake farm petting zoo, you know, down here between New Braunfels, between Austin and San Antonio, and it's been there probably 40 years, I guess, you know, and I've driven by it probably 10,000 times, and one day I drove by and I went, ooh. it just sounds nasty, and I went, well, it is, it's a snake farm, you know, and so I came up this chorus, snake farm just sounds nasty. You know, snake farm pretty much is snake farm. Everybody else, snake farm.
Yeah.
Ooh, and I said, well, what am I gonna do with this? I said, well, I'll make it a love song. I'll make it about a man who doesn't like snakes, but he's in love with a woman that works at the snake farm.
And oh, my goodness.
You start thinking about, well, what kind of woman would work at a snake farm? Well, she'd dance like Little Egypt. She'd drink malt liquor. She'd have a tattoo with a, you know, python eating a mouse. Like the alarm, you know. So
Is it safe to say that you have a wild imagination? Is it safe to say that? Do you have?
Well, it's a thing. It's a thing I've kind of learned about songwriting. It's inspiration and craft. Inspiration is what songwriters call the great aha. Where you go, that'd be a good idea for a song.
Right.
And you never know where that's going to come from, you know? I mean, the snake farm, you never know. And you take that inspiration, the great aha, and then you just...
Well,
you
know, it really just struck a chord in me because where I grew up, and here we are in Shamrock, just across the line, you know, and we're all on old Route 66.
Right.
And over between Eric and Texola, there used to be a place called the Reptile Village. Do you remember that, Gary? Did you ever go over there?
My mama took me there.
Yes. Yeah. And
for extra 50 cents, you could
nasty.
Crawl up on a ladder and look at the baby rattles.
Yes.
And they actually had a box of baby rattles.
Yeah. Yeah. So anytime that I heard Snake Farm, I loved the song because I thought it had some real catchy stuff in it, but it made me think about growing up as a kid and that reptile village, and it had snakes, and, I mean, there are people. We went out there all the time because I had a friend that worked out there, and it was nasty.
Hey, let's listen to
Snake Farm. You know, and they do have a smell all their own, Snake Farms and Reptile Villages.
Oh, yeah. We're going to listen to Snake Farm. We'll be back in just a few minutes to visit with Ray Wiley Hubbard.
kinda looks like tempest storming. She can dance like a little Egypt. She works down at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house. Snake farm. Ramona's got a keen sense of humor. She got a tattoo down her arm. It's a python eating a little mouse, wearing a sailor hat that says snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is snake farm. It's a reptile house. Snake farm. Ooh. Ramona, how come she works there? She says, well, it's got its charm. There's nothing to do in the winter. Now and then some kid gets bit at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. And a band from Wales that's called The Alarm. She said she cried when they broke up. She still plays the records at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Ooh. Sometimes Ramona calls me up and says, come on down here, it's getting warm. She runs everybody off and we, you know, at the snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm. Snake farm, it just sounds nasty. Snake farm, it pretty much is. Snake farm, it's a reptile house. Snake farm.
Program's Lyric and Legends. Debbie Finsterwald's in the studio and on the phone, true Texas music legend Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Oh man, we're just so excited to get to visit with you, Ray. And we wanna take folks back. We know that most every one of our listeners probably know that your claim to fame is that you wrote Up Against the Wall, Redneck Mother. And you know, that's, I read something that in an interview that you did one time that said, you know, you didn't, it's, somebody asked you if you ever got tired of playing that song and you were like, well, no, when they bring in money, you're
twice a year when you go pick the
yeah, it's not a problem.
Oh.
But tell us a little.
I don't remember saying that, but I can't deny it.
Back in the 70s, you might have said it. Do you think that maybe you've forgotten, or I don't know? But let's go back and talk about that song and talk about the beginning of your career and just tell us a little bit about how you got into music and what your influences and that kind of thing are. So tell us a little bit about your start.
Well, I grew up there in Oak Cliff, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. I went to Adamson High School, and Michael Murphy, who's now General Michael Martin Murphy.
Yes,
was a senior, and I guess I was a sophomore, and I saw Michael came out, and, you know, he played this assembly, and all of a sudden he said, here's a song I wrote, and it just, this little light went off my head. Oh, man, he's a songwriter. So I got involved in got a guitar. The whole folk music thing was really going at that time, acoustic guitars.
Right.
You know, and so I got into, of course, you know, Bob Dylan and all the, you know, folk singers and everything.
Yeah.
And then I feel very fortunate. There was a little folk club there, and it was, you know, that's where I got involved. You know, and also at that high school, Michael Murphy, and then also Adamson High School, B.W. Stevenson, who wrote My Maria and
Shambhala. Oh, yes.
And also there was a young fellow named Larry Gross, who now hosts Mountain Stage, and it was a musician there. And I can't speak for Michael or BW or Larry, but for me, you know, high school at Adamson, there was a pretty unpleasant 5 years.
And, right.
I'm just kidding. I got out before.
Well, maybe you were on, you know, maybe you were on the extended Let's Get Musical plan and needed that extra year. So.
No, I got out before.
Well, that's good to know.
But that's where I got up. You know, got involved in music. And then, of course, in that scene, too, of Dallas and Houston and Austin, I got into kind of playing these little folk clubs, and that's where you'd run into Towns Van Zandt and, you know, Guy Clark and,
right.
You know, all these, you know, songwriters. And so that's kind of got me, you know, poked me with a stick to get me into songwriting.
So
that's
what was your,
I started off.
What was your first band? I mean, I know you did some things in high school, but then...
It was a group called Three Faces West, and we were up in Red River, New Mexico. We opened a little, you know, coffee house folk club up in Red River.
Right.
And we were, it was myself and two other fellows, Rick Fowler and Wayne Kidd, and we you know, we had a little folk club up in Red River, which was kind of the stopping off point for all the musicians from Austin going to Colorado and all the, you know, Colorado guys going into Austin, you know, Michael Murphy and... Oh, Steve Fromhopes, and gosh, you know, Jerry Jeff Walker.
Right.
You know, it was really cool. When Jerry Jeff came into town, real quick story, Jerry Jeff came into Red River at this time, and everybody was real excited because, man, that's Jerry Jeff Walker. He wrote Mr. Bojangles. He's a big star. This is going to be great for Red River, New Mexico to have a music star in our list, you know, staying here, coming in Red River. And then about 2 days later, these same people came up and they go, when do you think your friend's going to leave?
You said, well, I'm going to write him a song and get him out of here. Is that how that came about?
Yeah. Pretty much kind of that thing, too, you know, just like, when do you think he's going to leave? And, you know, because it was Jerry Jeff, you know. Jerry's doing really well. I just did a show with him about 2 weeks ago down in Green Call. You know, he had a health scare.
I was going to ask you about that.
He had throat cancer, but he got it removed, and so they had a thing at his big birthday weekend at a Green Home. And Susan Walker didn't know if Jerry was going to make it at all because his voice is pretty raspy.
Right. Oh.
So she called Jack Ingram and Gary Nunn and Bob Livingston and Joe Egan and said, "Would y'all go down there and just do a song swap in case Jerry Jeff doesn't show up? And just kind of do, you know, so the people won't be disappointed." So we went there, and then Jerry Jeff showed up, and man, it was a time. He was a little raspy, but it was, he just sat there and played, and it was just really, really a touching deal. Like I say, I'm very grateful.
That's
Jerry.
Wonderful.
You know, when he was down there in Luckenbach, and they were recording the Viva Tlingua album, and they put Redneck Mother on there, which I feel very grateful that he did. And he also gave me a middle name. He left. That's Bob Livingston introduced me on the record, going, "This song is by Ray Wiley Hubbard."
I know
Ray Hubbard up till then, but then he put that on the record, so there I am.
There you are.
Name.
I mean, that's one of my first vivid memories is listening to that album, and so I go down to Roaring Springs, Texas, to an outdoor concert because Jerry Jeff Walker is going to be there,
right?
And I don't think he showed up, and I got thrown in jail. But that's another story for
that's
another...
a whole other legend to tell about. Well, why don't we?
I tell you what, I don't know if I told that.
I'm hoping it's out there.
Yeah, it's not a secret. It's no big deal. Well, how about we listen to Redneck Mother, and then let's come back and talk about a little bit about a little more about that
you
song.
Bet. You got it. Of course.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to listen to Redneck Mother.
Redneck
Mother.
And we'll
be back to visit with Ray Wiley Hubbard in just a few minutes.
He was born in Oklahoma. His wife's name's Betty Jo Delmalive. He's not responsible for what he's doing.
Programs, Lyrics, and Legends. Got Debbie Fitzgerald in the studio. Man, every time we do this, I think we can't get any better. And
no.
Here we are talking to Ray Wiley Hubbard.
And just having the best time. So, Ray, we just listened to Redneck Mother. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, did that take you days and days? Did that take you 15 minutes? Tell us about that song and how it came about.
Oh, well, we were up in Red River, New Mexico, and, you know, it was kind of, you know, there was kind of a time in America where you'd long hair, where, you know, America was kind of split up, the hippies and the rednecks and everything, you know, it was kind of, it was split. You know, this was before Willie Nelson sang at Armadillo World Headquarters and brought the hippies and the rednecks together through the power of just, you know, damn good country music. So it was
right.
Kind of, you know, a little rough area. And so they, we were up in Red River, New Mexico, and there was a bar up there, you know, they had two bars. One was kind of a long-haired musician bar, and the other was kind of this, you know, hardcore old redneck cowboy bar, which that might have been the name of it, if I remember. But it was, you know, so one night we were having this kind of little hootenanny jam session playing around at B.W. Stevenson and Bob Livingston, and gosh, I think Joe Eady and a bunch of them were just up there. And it's my turn to go get the beer, so, you know, I didn't want to walk down about, you know, half a mile to this kind of place for all the musicians. So I just kind of walked in this old D bar and went in there, and there's, you know, some rough old guys in there, didn't care for the way I looked, and it was kind of tense. And this one old woman's kind of, you know, she said, "I think I can take you." And I was like, "What?" She said, "I think I can just beat the soup out of you." You know, so I got out of there with the beer, and I went back to the jam session. I walked in. I said, "Man, I almost got beat up in that bar, you know." And so B.W. Stevenson said, "What, did you get the beer?" And I said, "Yeah, I got the beer." And he said, "Well, sing a song." So, I just kind of, as I was walking out, there was a old pickup truck had a gun rack and a bumper sticker that said, "Goat Ropers Need Love Too," and had Oklahoma plates. And so I actually kind of started writing a song about me, like, "Well, I was born in Oklahoma, next wife's name's Betty Joe Liz." And I just kind of wrote about me. And then Bob Livingston, who was at the you know, that thing that night,
right,
he left and he went down to start playing bass with Jerry Jeff. So one night, I think at the Broken Spoke Saloon, Jerry broke a string, and they didn't have roadies back in those days, so Jerry had to change the string. So he said, "Bob, sing a song." So Bob sang, you know, "Redneck Mother," but he sang it about me, like he was born in Oklahoma, which he's talking about me.
That is so
and
cool.
Then, you know, as Bob tells us, that people kind of had their mouth open and looked around, and they started dancing and pouring beer on their own heads and singing along. And Jerry Jeff said, "Well, I'm going to learn this song." So they went down to Luckenbach and recorded it, and that's kind of the history of that.
That's an awesome story.
Oh, it is a great story. So every time I go to Red River, we're not that far, like 6 hours away.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Red River, and I'm looking around trying to get the layout of where that went down.
That is cool.
It was at the Motherlode.
The Motherlode Saloon. Still there.
That's the name of the place now.
What's that was the second time I got thrown in. No.
Well, here now.
No, I never got thrown in jail there.
So we've talked to some other guys that are you know, in your type of music. We always ask the question, you know, did you ever feel like you fit into a particular genre or whatever? Are you, do you consider yourself outlaw country, or, you know, do you have a label that, do you fit a label anywhere, or are you just you?
No, not really, because I've been influenced by all of, you know, Texas and all, you know, American music, you know. I mean, I start off in folk music, of course.
Right.
But then I also feel very fortunate to have, you know, seen Ernest Tubb and Gary Stewart and hang around, you know, and
right,
open shows for Waylon Jennings and knowing Jerry Jeff and Billy Joe Shaver. But then also feel very fortunate when I was younger to, you know, run around with Lightnin' Hopkins. I'd see him play and Mance Lipscomb and Freddie King and all these great blues guys. So,
right,
I'm not for like just one particular label, you know.
Right.
I write songs, and each song kind of decides what it's going to be, whether it's going to be, you know, got to have some rock roots, or whether it's going to be kind of bluesy with the groove, or whether it's going to be kind of a more folky country type thing. So I really don't have a label, you know what I mean?
Right.
I just kind of just write and see what happens.
Well, some good things have happened by just doing that, just following that you've
yeah,
had
man.
some really great things happen. And so you played with Jerry Jeff for a while, and then you broke out on your own. And tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I just kind of, after I left Red River, I just kind of, you know, and Jerry Jeff gave me a middle name. I just kind of started playing, you know, just the different, you know, Kerrville Folk Festival. And
right.
And we played, you know, Honky Tonk, so Austin Opera House, and all these just kind of joints as Ray Wiley Hubbard. And then I just had different musicians back me up, you know, for a while. There was a old guy, you know, there was Terry Ware from up in Woodward was a guitar player, stayed with me for a while. And then for a while, Bugs Henderson, the great blues cat, was, you know, in my band. And then, at some point, this is pretty wild, is John Inman and Paul Pierce and Bob Livingston, who were Jerry Jeff's band, the Lost Gonzo Band.
Right.
Right. So they left Jerry Jeff somewhere around 84, and they became my band.
Oh.
Which, you know, looking back, yeah, so looking back on it, it's just kind of like they wanted a different seat on the Titanic. You know? It's like, oh, man, it's bad over here, Jerry Jeff. Let's go with Greg. Oh, iceberg, man. It was just, you know, because it was kind of wild back in those days.
But your, then, all of your and then, your albums and things, did you record most of those in Texas?
Yeah, I did one record in Nashville, which really kind of broke my heart. We, you know, everybody in Austin was getting record deals. Rusty Weir, From Hopes, gosh, I mean, Michael Murphy, Willie Lather Ramsey. Everybody was getting record deals, and we made a record in Austin that was really pretty greasy and cool. It was kind of a country folk rock record, you know?
Yes.
It wasn't mainstream country, and then we went to, we got a deal, went to Nashville and recorded an album with the kind of same album. And the record label said, well, country radio is not going to play this. It's
right.
Kind of a folk, you know, Buffalo Springfield record. So, you know, they put steel guitars and fiddles and girl singers on every track. And it wasn't the record that we wanted. So we, you know, they kind of got mad at us and we kind of got mad at them. So we just kind of waited it out. So, but yeah, I've recorded, I guess, everything else in Texas.
Well, that's, I'd been reading about the fact, you know, that I believe it said that that was probably around 1980 that happened, and that they pretty much took your music and put their Nashville stamp on it, and just, you know, that, as an artist, that has to be pretty depressing and hard to swallow.
It was heartbreaking, you know, because we spent a lot of work and we just knew it wasn't us. And so after that, I just kind of, you know, struggled and kind of did it myself. And, you know, so I'm going to try to put out the records I want to make.
Which sure.
Today, I feel very fortunate that, you know, I sleep with the president of my record label, which isn't Clive Davis. It's my wife, Judy.
She's also your publicist.
Yes, and I'm sure she has many other hats.
Tell her thanks, too, for setting this up for us.
Yeah.
We appreciate her taking
care
of this.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, so she says, you write the songs you want to write, make the records you want to make. She said, I'll try to sell the damn things. So, for me, that's really, you know, because I've never been a mainstream writer. I mean,
right.
I wrote Redneck Mother, which was kind of, you know, a weird song anyway. So now, you know, I get to write about, you know, snake farms and, you know, Charlie Musselwhite and guitars and amps and old field holler. You know, so I feel very fortunate. I can just kind of write whatever I want to. And not, you know, I'm writing because I don't have a publishing deal. I'm not writing because I have a publisher. You know, I got to give 12 songs a year. Or I'm not writing to try to get somebody to record them. I'm just writing because, oh, damn, there's a snake farm, okay?
Yeah, because it...
You know what I mean?
When you're an artist, it sounds like to me that sometimes those things just flow out of you, and to try to fit into a certain form or whatever, that would be really hard. But tell us a little bit about, you know, you wrote this song called Count My Blessings. And tell us a little bit about that. Is it about your family? I mean, where did that song come from?
It's a little bit of everything. Like I say, I really kind of, you know, like I say, it's really hard to say exactly where a song comes from. You never know, you know, but I do believe, you know, I got the groove and I just kind of put this story on it, you know, just of growing up as a kid, you know, and, you know, I had my family being up Southeast Oklahoma. We're kind of, you know, I had an uncle that was kind of a, you know, card sharp gambler. And so I kind of threw that in there about, you know, like
maybe a bootlegger or two in the old family tree.
Yeah. I don't think he taught me go fish. I think he actually taught me three card body when I was pretty little, you know. So, and then, so you never know. And then, you know, I kind of heard the story about old Sam Cooke, and that's always been back in my head. So I just, you know, it just, once you start writing it, you just kind of let the song tell you where it wants to go, you know?
Well, I really,
so I just, yeah,
I really enjoyed that song because, you know, you talk in there, there's, you know, mention of your family and maybe not always making the best choices, but still something to, you know, count your blessings about. And I kind of related to that.
Yeah.
I have some of those people in my family too that might have been gamblers and bootleggers and all that kind of stuff.
Well,
but anyway, it's a cool song.
Enjoy, you know, when I was a young kid, I remember reading my dad was in he was a principal up there in Southeast Oklahoma, and then he became to Dallas was an English teacher. So he got me when I was
you're
little,
a teacher's kid? Really? You're a teacher's kid?
Yeah, he wouldn't read me Three Little Pigs. He'd read me The Raven, you know, and he got me into, you know, as a kid, you know, and he got me into literature and, you know, very early. So, and I always remember, you know, one of my favorite books was Aesop's Fables, where all these animals would talk. And
right.
So a lot of my songs, I've got crows and ravens and
right.
chickens, and a lot of them talk, you know, blackbirds, you know, because it's cool if you can have a bird say something that maybe you couldn't, you know.
True.
So, yeah, I enjoy stuff like that, true.
Well, how about we listen to Count My Blessings?
Okay.
All right.
All right, we're going to listen to Count My Blessings, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Mama, give me a nickel and a deck of cards. Said go on play out in the backyard. Walking down the alley, come on, Uncle Lonnie. He said, well, let me teach you about three-card money. You take the ace of hearts and two black queens. Flip them over so they can be seen. Spin them around four or five times. Bet a nickel, find the ace and win it down. 20 minutes later, I had $35. Singing Ain't Misbehaving by the Great Fat Swallower, I believe. Gonna count my blessings. I believe I'm gonna count my blessings. Well, I saw a black crow on the fence post, singing away like Sam Hopkins' ghost. He sang when you say I ain't breathing no more. Nail my feathers to the old barn door. I drag my carcass up behind the shed. Just make sure you're pretty sure I'm dead. Ask a Ouija board if you can't quite tell. Or if I start to stink like the floor's in hell. Go to Navasota after I'm done dying. It don't do you no good sitting around crying. I believe I'm gonna count my blessings. I believe I'm gonna count my blessings. And a moleskin book. When I heard Bertha Franklin shot and killed Sam Cooke, wrote down December 11th, 1964. I ain't gonna be twisting the night away no more. It took 15 minutes for the jury to decide. Cause of death, justified homicide. Unless the boy was a call by the prosecution. Then she's arrested for a prostitution. I see in the motel, had a busted down door. Sam swallowed and his money's never accounted for. I believe I'm gonna count my blessings. 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 Yes, I am, yes, I am.
program's Lyrics and Legends on the phone with us from Wimberley, Texas. Ray Wiley Hubbard in the studio. Deb Finsterwall, we're just having a blast doing this.
Man, this is, you have no idea, Ray. You have no idea what this means to Gary and I, because, you know, like, you are the music from our good old days.
Life, yeah. The music of my life.
Yeah, the music of our life. So just
to get from your wasted youth.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, just so you know.
Misspent youth, that's it.
Yes. Just so you know, it's such an honor for us to get to talk to you, and thank you for taking time.
Ray, I feel like we're far enough into the program, we've probably lost anybody that will
get offended.
So I think we need to adopt this as the national anthem of Texas. This next one we're going to do is...
The whole thing about Screw You from Texas is, you know, Texas has this incredible pride, you know, and the whole thing is that we're very independent. And the whole thing is about the songwriting thing. You know, they're saying, you know, like with Texas, so I originally was going to call it, you know, Screw You Nashville, we're from Texas. But, you know, I've got friends in Nashville.
Yeah. You could have put that in parentheses, like Chevrolets, you know.
Yeah, I should have.
You should have.
Deb, I should have. But it was just kind of an idea of, like, in Texas, we write our own songs, you know. But we've been doing that since, you know, Blind Lemon Jefferson, and we write. You know, that's what we do. We don't really do a lot of, you know, we're not really a lot of cover bands. And
yeah.
So, anyhow, they got upset, so I kind of went out there, and I went, well, screw you, man, we're from Texas. We write our own songs. And all of a sudden, that was just kind of the inspiration, the aha, screw you, we're from Texas.
Yeah, a star was born right then.
Yeah, it just kind of, you know, I've yet to sing it north of the Red River, so I mean, I talk big.
Well, we certainly share your sentiment.
I preach to the choir.
Yes.
You probably could sing it in Red River, though, because...
Oh, yeah.
It's about 90% Texans switching.
Yeah, in the summertime, it's half of Wheeler County up there every week. So let's listen to Screw You. We're from Texas.
We'll be back to visit with Ray Wiley Hubbard in just a few minutes.
Got on my cowboy boots, jeans, and a Hawaiian shirt, mirrored sunglasses, a mobile phone. I guess I look like some Porter Ansys dope dealers out on bail just trying to get home. But I ain't in jail, and I got me a guitar, got a little band that's hotter than a rocket. Sometimes we're sloppy, we're always loud, tonight we're just honoring, locked in the pocket. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas, baby. So screw you. USA and the other states, they're okay. Texas is the place I want to be, and I don't care if I ever go to Delaware anyway. Cause we got Stubbs and Greenhall and Antone's and John T's Country Store. We got Willie and Jackie Jack, Robert Earl, Pat, Corey, Charlie, man, so many more. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you, sing it with me. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you. Gotten a bad reputation because of what happened in Dallas and Waco. And our corporations, they are corrupt, and our politicians are swindlers and loco. comes to music, my friend, I believe these words are as true as St. John the Revelator's. Our Mr. Vaughn was the best that there ever was, and no band was cooler than the 13th floor elevators. So screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you, screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you, screw you. We're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. We're from Texas. Screw you, we're from Texas. Screw you.
The program's Lyrics and Legends. Debbie Finsterwald's in the studio on the phone with us. Ray Wiley Hubbard.
Ray Wiley Hubbard. We're talking to
I
Ray
had to
Wiley
pinch
Hubbard.
Debbie, I was like, Debbie, I got an interview with Ray Wiley, and she's like, "You're
what?
You're kidding me?
Do I get to come? Please, please let me come."
Of course.
So, Ray, we're thrilled to talk to you. But you have a song that's called "When She Sang Amazing Grace," and it's kind of a honky tonk gospel song, and I like both those things, honky tonk and gospel. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I just had this brilliant idea to write a honky-tonk gospel tune. You know, I just figured it'd bring those two separate camps together. People like honky-tonk, people like gospel music, and they would come together, which I didn't care if they got along with each other. I just figured they'd come together as consumers, you know. You know, the people like beer joints, I'm going to buy that record. The people
that's
like honky joints, I'm going to buy that record.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It's kind of one of those things where, you know, growing up, growing up in the church up there in Southeast Oklahoma, Northeast Texas, my grandma's would take me to the church, and that whole idea of, being a little kid. I mean, when the storms would come, you know, that was the big deal. We'd go to storm cellars and,
We live in that alley too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then my mom and grandma would sing hymns, you know, sing all these old hymns. So that's how the idea. And then it's about, you know, the guy starts. You know, she went on to the blue, went beyond the blue, and then he kind of started hitting the lost highway, and then he kind of, you know, ends up walking into a mission down in New Orleans and sees an angel snake and a tambourine, and, you know, it kind of comes full circle.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how that works.
Well,
I do that as a sing-along, you know, when we do it.
Yeah, that's what I started to say, and it's very easy to sing along, and I've watched some video of you leading people in that song when she sang Amazing Grace, and it looked like a lot of fun. Yeah. I wish I'd have been there. So let's go listen to when she sang Amazing Grace.
Well, I tell you what, Deb, you can go in and sing along with me, but don't let Gary.
Okay.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Ray, it's all serious, all honesty, she has one of the best voices you'll ever hear.
Oh, man, that's what I'm saying. I can tell that I'm on you. I mean, I don't say anything, Gary, but man, you listen to your voice, it's like, I don't know, if you start singing like an old dog with his hind leg caught in barbed wire.
That's exactly it. You know, we play once a week at the nursing home because they can't leave.
They can't.
You know?
They're a captive audience. Yeah. Roll them in, roll them out, you know.
Yeah, so I'm going to try Snake Farm next week at the nursing home, see what happens.
See how that goes over with
it. See what happens.
We're going to listen to She Sang Amazing Grace.
Okay.
We're going to have to wrap this up pretty quick. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
When I was a child, my mama would hold me in her loving arms when the storm clouds come along. The dark clouds rising, storms are raging. She'd sing an old gospel song. The thunder crashing, lightning flashing. I found comfort in the words that she would say. Beyond these dark skies, there's a rainbow that only love and the sun will bring. Amazing grace, I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang, shall be unbroken. Well, I knew there were bluer skies.
Mama went on to somewhere beyond the blue. I started rambling that lost highway, and hard living took away the child she knew. I started drinking, I started gambling. I had no one to look over me. There was no blue skies, only sorrow, and I could only hear her sing in my memory. And when she sang, Amazing Grace, I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang, never be broken. Well, I knew there were bluer skies. I was running with a wild bunch, hanging with the rough and the rowdy kind. I was living fast and I was dying young. So long, Lord, I had a worried mind. I was drunk and I was hurting somewhere on the streets in New Orleans. When I stumbled to a little shelter, I saw an angel with a tambourine. When she sang, Amazing Grace, I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang, Circle be unbroken, well, I knew there were bluer skies. When she sang, I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang, Circle be unbroken, well, I knew there were bluer skies. Oh, when she sang, Amazing Grace, I felt tears in my eyes. When she sang, Circle be unbroken,
programs, lyrics, and legends. Debbie, we got time. We need to talk about one more song before we wrap this thing up.
All
what
right.
do you got on your list?
Well, I'm very interested in a song called Stone Blind Horses. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Stone Blind Horses. Oh, gosh. Boy, I've got so many of them. It's kind of one of those, I can say you kind of get older and you kind of start thinking about your mortality a little bit. And I've kind of, that whole idea of that song is, as I hope God grades on a curve.
Right, me too.
Know? And, because I'm not Mother Teresa, but hey, I'm not Attila the Hun. So, hoping maybe a C minus would maybe me slide through. So it was just kind of one of those, it was kind of influenced by my folk
background.
Because, mm-hmm. it's pretty much, a folk song in a way. And, kind of the idea, you're riding stone blind horses and you kind of go where it goes, and all of a sudden once in a while you realize you got to kind of make a decision about where you are going,
Maybe that's why these songs, all of these songs that I listen to and pick, they spoke to me, and I just love the fact that the whole point being is that the songs that you write from many different places, from your influences, from your life that you've had, from the experiences of life. And like you said, when we all get closer to that end, you start thinking about things. So I just...
Well, it's a thing, too. Like I say, I feel very... It's a thing, too, like another old song I wrote about, the days I keep my gratitude higher than my expectations, I have really good days.
Yeah.
I'm very, very grateful for so much, and being grateful that, I'm kind of a spiritual mongrel in a way, you know, but I try to live on certain spiritual principles.
Sure.
And by doing that, I have a, you know, I can see the results of trying to, you know, contribute to other people.
Right.
And just seeing what I can get out of this whole life.
So right. That's kind of give back
a little
bit.
Important part of what I write songs. Yeah, that is. You know, it's what I can give rather than what I can get for these old songs. And I'm very grateful today.
Well, we are so grateful to have you on air with us. We want to listen to Stone Blind Horses. Let's do that, Gary. What do you think?
We're going to be back and wrap this thing up.
Okay.
There are some saints that have been forgotten, like most of my drunken prayers. They say there's a heaven somewhere above the yonder, where there's no more crosses to bear. And there's ghosts all along the highways, and there's storms out on the sea. My only hope is somewhere in that heaven, someone says a prayer for me. I've been riding stone blind horses, never seen a reason to believe. Hey, sweet Genevieve, say a prayer for me. The wild young cowboys, old drunks, paramours and thieves. Slurred whistle of a red-winged blackbird sounds like it's singing, oh, that I might die. It's his song for those who have fallen, unrepentant and with no more alibi. I've been riding stone blind horses, never seen a reason to believe. Hey, sweet Genevieve, say a prayer for me. And the wild young cowboys, old drunks, paramours and thieves. Hey, sweet Genevieve, say a prayer for me. And the wild young cowboys, old drunks, paramours and thieves.
Programs, lyrics, and legends. Time for that Department of Shameless Plugs with Ray Wiley Hubbard. Ray, this is your last grasp here to brag on Judy or talk about your music or
tell us where you're going to be or anything like that you want to talk about, how folks can find Ray Wiley Hubbard at raywileyhubbard.com.
Yeah, well, I see. I wrote a book called A Life Well Lived, and I feel, you know, I kind of got a bunch of these old stories in it that I feel very proud of. But I'm in the process of recording a new record. I've just got the songs together.
And great.
We're putting that together probably out early next year, next January.
So how long has it been between albums? When was your last one? 2017?
I've been a couple, yeah, Yeah, Talladega was a couple of years ago. I do about every 3 years.
Okay.
So, but I feel really good about this record. I'm kind of using all different, I got a song on there with a band, the Cadillac 3, backed me up. And then a group called Lark and Poe. And then this girl, Ashley McBride.
Oh, yes.
She's singing on the song.
And wonderful.
Elizabeth Cook. So I got different friends. You know, I mean, what are friends for if you can't exploit them?
That's
right?
Exactly right. That's how Gary and I are.
That's right.
Yeah. Didn't Ashley McBride just win like tons of awards that was recognized CMAs and stuff? That's wonderful.
Yeah, I met her about 2 weeks before that, and we wrote a couple of songs together, and then also, which I hope will be on her new record. And then she said, "Yeah, I'll sing on it." So we got this song for her. So yeah, I feel very fortunate, like I say, to know some really gracious. You took the time, like the thing with Cadillac 3 and a young rock band named Tyler Bryant, and the Shakedown, a group called Lark and Poe, two young women that are just killer. And so, you know, it's going to be kind of a different record. I got Peter Rowan playing on my record. So
that's wonderful.
So it's going to be fun. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm just putting this record together.
So are you still out and about and performing live where people can come see you? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're doing that Larry Joe Taylor Chili Cook-Off next week. And then we're playing down in Houston, a big bike rally down there. And then, just all over. You know, there are certain areas where I can do real well. You know,
right.
I'm very, kind of that age where I feel great, but I'm kind of, you know, I don't have to go out and tour, like, be gone a month.
Right.
You know, I can go out and do weekends and play Texas and Oklahoma, which I call the low-hanging fruit tour, you know. I don't have to climb a ladder and go to Wisconsin, you know.
Exactly.
Well, if you come up to the panhandle, let us know, because we'll...
Yeah, and don't forget that the panhandle really is part of Texas, you know. I mean, sometimes we get a little forgotten, and we just want to remind you that we still are Texans, too, so...
Anyway. No, I played up there at the Golden Lot and
in Amarillo.
And also did the Tri-County Fair, man. That was great. I played the fair up there in Amarillo.
Really?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, it's been about 5-6 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was really, they had the stage right next to the petting zoo. So
that would be another song right there. So.
Surely you got a song out of that one. That's great. Well, we just have had the best time visiting with you and just love the opportunity to get to talk to one of, in our minds, and a whole lot of people that we know, a real Texas icon and somebody that we admire. And we're just so grateful for your time.
And thank your wife for letting us get this together. Thank you, Ray. Look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, you guys take care.
Take care.
Enjoyed it.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
This has been another edition of Lyrics and Legends with your host, Gary Ware. Join us next time here on Legends 92.9.